If you'd like to turn in your scripture tonight to Exodus chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8. I found myself, go ahead and stand, that'll be fine. I found myself reading through the book of Exodus again, and I think it's one of the greatest exciting things that's been written. And I always like to pause and think about the name, Exodus, just from the time that, you know, I spent teaching Greek. I can't escape those things. It just kind of makes me stop and think. But the word ex means out, and odus means way or road. So Exodus is the way or the road out. Aren't you glad God knows how to make a road out? Amen. Wherever you're at tonight, there's a not just a road out of Egypt. Did you know there's also a road out of this earth? There's a road, as we preach this morning, that reaches to heaven. Now, I want to tell you this. Tonight's message will make a lot more sense in the context of last Sunday evening's message. And I was so thankful. I just received an email this week and of how that message had encouraged somebody because of the world that we live in, and to know that we're not supposed to feel like we're at home. We're supposed to feel out of place. But I just mentioned that message because the context of that will make this message this evening more applicable and meaningful. I'm just going to read these verses to give us a sample of what we're going to be talking about tonight. But in verse 22, and those of you that are Bible readers, you'll know that this is in the middle of the accounts where God sent plagues upon Pharaoh and Egypt to turn his heart or to work God's miracle of setting the children of Israel free from Egyptian bondage. And in verse 22, God says, I will sever. Now, I'm going to read, but I'm going to just explain that word before we go on. Sever means to separate and make a difference. I'm going to separate. I'm going to distinguish. I'm going to make a difference. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell. That's a portion of Egypt, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division, and again the word could mean I will put a difference between my people and thy people, the Israelites and the Egyptians. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So God is emphatic, one verse following the other, a little bit different words, but he's emphatic that there's going to be a difference between his people and the Egyptians. I'm glad God makes a difference. In fact, I want to preach tonight about glad for the difference. Glad for the difference. Amen. Father, help us tonight to hear from heaven. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you that you never forget your people, Lord, that you truly are the author and the finisher of our faith, service by service, private time by private time, excursion into your word after excursion, prayer time from prayer time. Lord, you're at work in our lives. You're doing something. You're ensuring, Lord, that we're going to make it home. God, help us to feel the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts through the preaching of the word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I wouldn't dare to venture into the political scene of this current presidential race, but I would say one of the things I believe is fueling at least the political unrest of the right is this fact. Many folks, in their estimation, cannot tell a difference between the major political parties. Have you heard that? Just can't tell a difference. Used to, there was something that distinguished the difference or marked the difference. Those lines have been blurred. Now, I'm going to tell you, leaving the political scene, what concerns me as a pastor, concerns me as a minister, isn't the blurring of lines so much between the political parties, but it's the blurring of the line between the people of God and those who do not know him. The line has been blurred. Someone has said, well, you look at this political party, and then you look at this one. What's the difference? That's sad, but it's more sad when folks look at the people that do not know God and look at the people who profess to know God and say, what's the difference? That's a sad thing. Increasingly, I'm not going to share any statistics with you tonight, but increasingly research is showing that in America, there's very little difference between someone who professes to be a believer in Jesus, how he lives, and how an unbeliever lives. There's very little difference. I could name some areas. I'm not going to share the statistics, but from pornography on, there's very little difference. Even those folks in churches that use to show a contrast to the world around them, they've made changes. And no longer are their lives distinguishable from the world around them. There simply is no difference. But if you read the Word of God, there has always been a marked difference between the people of God and the people who do not know Him. Amen. I don't know how you feel, but I don't want to get rid of the difference. I don't want to blur the distinction. Amen. I want to distinctly be marked as the people of God. I begin reading this week the story of the Exodus again, and when it begins, there are two distinct peoples in Egypt. They're both in Egypt, but in Egypt there are the Egyptians and there are the Israelites. The Egyptians were those whom that was their country. Amen. They lived and they set that culture. They lived according to its customs. But the other group of people, the Israelites, they did not fit in. That was not, in truth, their country. In fact, they didn't fit in for two reasons. Number one, they were shepherds. That was not the Egyptian lifestyle. They were shepherds. Not only were they shepherds, they had become slaves. But whether you talk about the difference being they were shepherds or slaves, the main reason the Israelites were different is they served a different God. That's why they were different. Amen. We find here, and if you go all the way back to Genesis, that these folks, the Israelites, lived in the land of Goshen. That's still Egypt, but it's a certain place in Egypt up towards the Delta area. And the reason they lived there was because of the difference. Joseph, who God had raised, and we're going to go into the story, wonderful story, raised to power in Egypt to preserve the people of God. When he moved his dad and his brother and their wives and children to Egypt, he said, now listen, Pharaoh, my people are different. They're keepers of sheep. And so Pharaoh had said, you know, just bring them here within the capital, bring them here with the rest of us. And Joseph said, no, my people are different. Would it be all right if they just stayed in this portion of land, the land of Goshen? And that's why the Israelites were living in Goshen. You see, you got to be clear, they weren't the people of God because they lived in Goshen. They lived in Goshen because they were the people of God. We don't live where we live. That doesn't make us the people of God. Amen. We live where we live because we are the people of God. There is a distinction. And so let me summarize everything I've said so far. The Israelites were different, but the Israelites were not the people of God because they were different and distinct. Amen. The people of God, the Israelites, were distinct and different because they were the people of God. Could I just say that one more time? I said the Israelites being different and distinct did not make them the people of God. Amen. They lived distinct and different because they were the people of God. They worshiped a different God. As the story of the people of God's deliverance from Egypt, the story of Exodus unfolds, we see that at first, the people of God did not like the distinction. We're going to see that in a moment. At the opening of when God sets the people of Israel free from Egypt, at first they did not like the distinction. They did not like being different. But I want to tell you, by the time we finish the story, the children of Israel are rejoicing and worshiping God because they were different. They were not an Egyptian. They were an Israelite. Let me tell you, for the people of God, being different should not be something we bemoan, we struggle against, we fight against, we seek to lose. No, our difference is something we should embrace and rejoice and thank God that He has made a difference in our lives. Even in Exodus chapter 6, let me tell you where that difference starts. It starts right here. God said, I will take you to be I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian. You want to know why we're different? God chose us to make us His. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad He chose you to make you His? Amen. If there's any difference in your life, any difference in the way you think, any difference in the way you live, any difference in your values, amen, it's nothing we can take credit for. We're different because He chose us to be His people. We weren't the best, we weren't the brightest, but He chose us, and that's made all the difference. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this difference in the story of Exodus. First of all, the difference makes it difficult. How many believes that? Difference makes it difficult. You know, see, first of all, to be an Israelite was difficult because that was to be a slave. They were beaten, they were burdened, they were disdained, they were disliked, they were scorned, they were ridiculed. They had their families attacked, they had their babies slaughtered, thrown into the Nile and eaten. You know, there's a word that gets used a lot more. It's been around a long time. How many's ever heard the word pariah? Pariah, several of you have. You see, in India, where there's a caste system, the pariah is the lowest caste. People disdain them. People scorn them. People ridicule them. They're the lowest class. They don't want to touch them. They don't want to talk to them. They are pariah. Well, in Egypt, God's people, Israel, were pariah. And I want to tell you, if there's a difference in believers' life, if believers stick by the truth of this word, they are becoming pariah to our society. Amen. So it was already bad enough that they were slaves. But you know what really made it bad for the Israelites in this story? It's already bad enough. They're already suffering. And here comes Moses, this man from the wilderness. And he marches into Pharaoh's court. And he said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And then Pharaoh asked a question he should have never asked. How many remembers what Pharaoh asked? Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Buddy, you're about to find out. He should have never asked a question. But what happened here? Moses said, let my people go. But Pharaoh guffawed at the idea. He said, let them go. And then in the words of Scripture, back to their burdens. Instead of letting them go, he said, back to the burden, back to the brick building. And then he ordered the supervisors of slaves, he said, don't you change that quota. If they were to make 5,000 brick a day, don't change the quota, but withhold the straw necessary for the brick making. And when the Israelites came and said, where's the straw? We got to hurry, got to make these bricks. The Egyptians said, go get your own straw. Well, that'll take more time. There's no way we can make the quota. But Pharaoh said, don't give them any slack. I want you to think what's happening here. Here's Moses. Sounds like a great idea. Sounds so spiritual. Goes into Pharaoh's court and said, let my people go. How'd that work out for the people of God? It made it tougher on them. It made it harder on them. It increased their difficulty. And so the people of God came to Moses and said, why are you talking this deliverance stuff? And again, in the words of Scripture, they said, you have made a stink in the sight of Pharaoh. You know what they were saying? We were already different enough. Now you've called extra attention to us and made things more difficult. I want to tell you, at first, the distinction and difference of a believer may bring greater attack, greater difficulty, greater burden. I've seen it over and over. You let somebody become a person of God and their life change, and they become different in their home, different in their community, different in their school. I want to promise you, almost every time when you become different at first, things are going to get rougher for you. Because Pharaoh and the Egyptians don't like the people of God. And when you try to be live delivered and be set free and live. So all I'm pointing out is at first the deliverance made it more difficult. If you had to talk to one of those Israelites in that period of time, that Israelite would have said, I don't like this being singled out as different. All it's got me is more burdens, more beatings, an increase of my pain. And bitterly they pointed this out to Moses. And Moses pointed it out to God. He said, God, all this has done is made it more difficult for your people. But you see, as in so many cases, what they failed to realize is that was only the beginning of the story. Don't quit in discouragement. You don't know how far along the story you're ahead. But what I want to make very clear is at first, the difference made it more difficult. Then secondly, this is a quandary we may have. Secondly, to be different, first of all, many times it'll appear to make no difference. To be different appears to make no difference. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you see, after Pharaoh refused, God sent Moses back and said, listen, if you don't let my people go, you're going to be drinking blood in the morning. Ha, what are you talking about? Moses said, okay. At the command of God, Moses stretched his rod out over the Nile River. And those Egyptians the next morning went out to pump water. Blood. Can you imagine turning on the faucet? I know they didn't have faucets, but in our time, turn on the faucet to shave in the morning, men. Hardly open your eyes. And you feel the difference of texture. Blood. Women, you go in to draw some water from the sink to make coffee. Blood. Go to shower, turn the shower on, blood. Now here's the point I want to make. On this first plague, the water turning to blood, there is no indication that this plague was not also experienced by God's people, the Israelites. By all indication, they're living in Egypt too. They draw water from the Nile. There's no indication that the Israelites didn't suffer the same plague. So at this point, the difference seems to make no difference. And then after the first plague of blood, there's a plague of frogs. How would you like that? I got a lot of frogs out there around the pond. But can you imagine getting up in the morning to stick your feet in your house shoes and something squishes? Frogs. Can you imagine open the cereal box, kids, tomorrow? Oh, the boy's got a big prize, this one does. And plop in your cereal bowl is a frog? Let me give you one it did tell us about. Ladies, go to the refrigerator to get that yeast dough you've got in there rising. Take it out, put it on the counter, start kneading it. And it croaks. Something wrong with this dough. And you pull the dough open. Ribbit. Now here's the point. I don't have time to go on all these in detail. Here's the point. At this stage, there is no indication but that the Israelites suffered the same frogs. And then there was the plague of, and some of these Old Testament words are kind of hard to know exactly what they're getting at, of lice or gnats. Now things are getting bad. There's so many things I'm keeping myself from talking about. Well, not what you're thinking either. I was thinking something biblical and spiritual. I don't know what you were thinking. Let me just put in one thing here. Do you know when Moses threw down his rod, became a snake? The magicians of Egypt threw down their rods. They became, of course, God was one up on them because Moses' rod ate their rod. Did you know when Moses turned the water into blood, by trickery and illusion and deception, the Egyptian magicians turned water into blood? Did you know when Moses called out the frogs, they were able to the magicians of Egypt by delusion and deception. We're able to call. But now it gets to lice, gnats, and the magician said, we can't duplicate it. And they admitted it was not illusion because they said, this is the finger of God. Oh, hallelujah. How many remembers the next time you read that in Scripture? Jesus cast out devils and healed the sick and made the lame. And people looked around and said, this isn't deception. This isn't illusion. This is the finger of God. And one of the reasons is lice and gnats are too small to palm. You can't control them with the hands. I want to tell you, I didn't mean to go this route, but the world can seemingly duplicate a lot of things, but quickly they're going to reach the point they can't duplicate what God can do. Amen. Cannot do it. But again, there's no indication that the Israelites did not have to battle these knights. No indication. The Israelites lived in the same country, Egypt, as the Egyptian did. And so these first three plagues, they suffered them. And what I'm trying to preach tonight, for a period of time. Now remember, at first the difference made it more difficult. Now the difference seems to make no difference. I'm an Israelite and I have the frogs. I'm an Israelite and I have the lice. Listen, church, sometimes the difference in our lives will not seem to make a difference. We live in the same world as the unbeliever around us. We're different, but we have the same troubles. We have flat tires. Our engines blow up. Our kids get the flu. And we're often plagued with the question, what difference does a difference make? Difference make. And if you don't think to ask the question, Satan, he'll make sure you hear the question. He'll speak it in your ear. Oh, you live for God. You pay tithes. You worship God. You set apart your life to serve Him. What difference has it made you? Amen. You've lost loved ones and this thing has happened. And that He'll make sure that you hear it. Amen. Your neighbor's kids, they don't love Jesus. Their kids are sick. Your kids are sick. Amen. That man down the street, he's wicked. He lost his job. You lost your job. And listen, if I don't need to remind you, amen, those of the world who do not know Christ, they pay taxes. But guess what? People of God pay taxes. And sometimes it doesn't look like being different makes a difference. But I want to promise you, here's the next point. We're moving through this story of the Exodus. The difference will make a difference. I said the difference will make a difference. You see, we come, and this is where our text was tonight. We come to this plague of flies, swarms of flies. Oh, don't you hate a fly? We've had a few plagues of flies around here. You can figure that one out if you want to. But look what it says in Exodus 8:22, our text. He said, this time, on this plague, I will sever, I will separate, I will make a difference in that day, the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. To the end, thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Verse 23, and I will put a division, a difference between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Now the children of Israel, remember, oh, the difference makes it more difficult. Then they begin to cry out, the difference makes no difference. But there came a point when the plagues would not cross the line of difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. I'm going to tell you, don't get discouraged with the difference Jesus has made in your life. You may see a lot of times where it seems to make no difference, but I promise you, there will come a point in your life, there will come a point in the timeline of history and prophecy where the difference is going to make a difference. Wouldn't you have liked to see that? I mean, here's flies. Even you can't build a fence to keep them out. Here's flies. Oh, they're everywhere. Here's this fly. He's just flying around enjoying pestering people, enjoying and getting on everybody's picnic, and he's flying across the country. Bzzz, bzzz, bonk. Nothing there. Not a tree limb, nothing but what appears to be sky. But he's hit an invisible line, an invisible barrier. Amen. He can't tell a difference. There's not a signpost there. If there were, he could not read it. There's not a fence there. Oh, but right here is Egyptian land, and right there is Israelite land. And that fly can't cross from Egyptian land. It can't cross into Israelite. I'm telling you, there is a time when the difference is going to make a difference. God has set perimeters around his people. I want to tell you one of the greatest lines, and I'm way ahead of myself, but I want to tell you there's a great line. You ought to be thankful. The line that makes the real difference, and that's the bloodline. I'm telling you, the demons of hell, amen, cannot cross that bloodline. Aren't you glad for the difference? I know there's struggle. I know there's sickness. I know there's problems, but believe me tonight, there's going to be a time when the difference is going to make a difference. Oh, somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. At this point, and I know this is a sub-theme, but I must bring this to us tonight since we're talking about a difference. At this point, when Pharaoh's asking for relief from these flies, Pharaoh makes his first attempt at compromise. See, Moses had been saying to Pharaoh, "Let my people go so we can worship our God." Pharaoh refused, but now he's ready to negotiate. He's going to find out you can't negotiate with God. And so Pharaoh offers this compromise. He says, "All right, Moses, go ahead and worship, but stay in Egypt to do it." Listen, folks, I'm not trying to be ugly or cruel, but Satan is offering churches and church folks and new converts, he's offering the same compromise. There doesn't really need to be all this difference. You can go ahead and worship God, but just stay in Egypt. No, don't heed that compromise. True worshipers of God, they leave Egypt. Egypt's got different gods. Egypt's got different values. Egypt's got a different destiny. So there's the offering of the first compromise. And then there came the plague. In our Bibles, it says murrain, which is actually a disease on livestock. Camels, sheep, cattle, goats, horses. It's a plague. It's a disease that they'll soon die. But look what it says in chapter 9, verse 4. "And the Lord shall sever." There's that word again. "He shall make a difference. He shall make a distinction between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's." Bunch of cattle on an open range in the plains, fertile plains of the Nile, munching on grass. All of a sudden, one there dies, one there dies, one over here dies. People go out there and start checking the brands. Everyone that died had an Egyptian brand, and every cow that lived had an Israelite brand. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, aren't you glad the difference is going to make a difference? Hallelujah. I want to tell you when that happened. Well, let me read one more verse, verse 6. "And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but all of the cattle of the children of Israel died not." Now look, they took that news to Pharaoh, but it was so hard to believe that it worked that way, that this difference made a difference, that just because they were Israelites, the people of God, their cows didn't die. It was so difficult to believe that Pharaoh sent folks to check it out. Look what it says here in verse 7. "And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened." He had to check it out. I'm telling you, there's going to come a point that the difference will make such a difference in your life that even the world will be checking it out. Is it really true? "And then there was the plagues of boils," verse 11, "and the magicians could not stand. Magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all," none of the Israelites, "but upon all of the Egyptians." The difference made a difference. "And then there was hail." Not this little stuff we've had the last few days, that little sleet. And so, I mean, this was big stuff. It killed things. It stripped the foliage. It stripped the leaves and the blossoms and the buds from the trees. Oh, it's a horrible hail. It's killing things. Oh, look at verse 26. only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Remember, they were complaining about this difference. You think they're complaining about the difference now? Don't you think they're thanking God they're an Israelite now? There comes a time when the difference will make a difference. And then there was the locusts. We could talk about those, but again, indication is the locusts took every remaining thing, what the frogs didn't eat and what the hail didn't knock off and what the flies didn't consume. What was left, these locusts came and consumed everything. But once again, they could not cross that line between the Egyptians. And I'm starting to feel like I'm glad I'm one of the people of God, aren't you? Could not cross the line. And here's where Pharaoh's second compromise came in. He said, okay, you want to go ahead and worship. Get your men together. Go out of the wilderness and worship. But leave your children here. So they wouldn't go anywhere. They'd have to come back to Egypt. I want to tell you, there's another compromise that says, well, you know, for old fogies, it's all right if they live for God. And it's all right if old fogies live for God and be different. But kids need to sow their wild oats. And, you know, things have changed anyway. And so it's all right for young people to be involved in all that stuff of the world and still claim. I want to tell you, we must not make that compromise that we will worship our God but leave our children in Egypt. Moses said, I'm not going to take you up on that. When we go, our children are going with us, because the difference isn't just in mom and dad. The difference is in our children. Oh, don't you want such an experience with God that the difference goes all the way down through the generations? That was the second compromise. And then there was this darkness. Wouldn't you hate for it to be dark all the time? What if you lived way up north by the Arctic Circle, where in winter those days are almost 24 hours long? How would you like that? It'd be almost like living in Ohio where it's cloudy and cold all the time. Darkness. Pharaoh refused to let the people of God go. And God sent darkness. Just one verse. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. It's bad in Egypt. It's bad when it gets so dark you can't find the way to the pantry. I mean, that's bad. They didn't even get out of bed for 3 days because they hurt themselves. It was so dark. It's bad. Oh, but what's this? But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. The difference made a difference. There's light. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a difference. Everywhere I look in the world, I see nothing but darkness. It's dark there. It's darkness in the homes. It's darkness in the places of education. It's darkness, darkness. Aren't you glad to have a family of God? Aren't you glad to have this building where we gather today? It's not darkness. It's light. I'm telling you, that difference makes a difference. Amen. Serve God, Mom. Serve God, Dad. Amen. And I'll tell you what, there can be light in your home instead of darkness. Make no mistake, our nation is in trouble because in our homes, amongst the families, it's dark, 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 dark thoughts, dark imaginations, dark things that are consumed from the television, dark things that are listened to on the radio, dark things coming out of the mouth. No wonder there's darkness. But thank God for a difference where there's light in the believer's home. That's when Pharaoh offered his third compromise. He said, okay, go ahead and go worship. Go ahead and take your children, but leave your cattle here. You know, he knew they had to have a means of sustenance. So he was trying to make it so they'd have to come back. And that's when Moses said that wonderful thing, and I'm not going to even get close to quoting it. But he said, no, Pharaoh, no compromise. We are the people of God. We're going to serve God, and we're going to leave this land of Egypt. But when we leave, we're taking our wives, and when we leave, we're taking our children. He said, we're not even going to leave a hoof. Hallelujah. In other words, our cattle's coming too. Our camp, it's an all, everything about us is different. We live in the same world. Amen. Even Jesus said, ye are in the world, but you are not of the world. We suffer the same things, but thank God for the lines he draws because of the difference. Read the story of Job. I know Job did some devastating, or Satan did some devastating things against Job. But if you read the prologue, epilogue to the story, God told Satan, you can go this far and no further. How it may get rough for you. It may get tough, but there will be a time when the difference is going to make a difference. Right now, we may be having the same troubles as the world around us. You begin to read what's going to happen in end time prophecy. I can't promise you, as some that's got it all figured out with their charts, I can't promise you everything that we're going to miss. I can't promise you that we're not going to have to go through anything. Things may get really rough. Things may get really tough. Amen. There may be hunger. There may be poverty and persecution. There may be natural calamity and catastrophe. There may be governments against us and armies. I can't promise you we won't go through any of that. But I can promise you there'll be a time when the difference will make a difference, because the Bible has said, God has said, for the true people of God, washed in the blood, they will never, ever, ever suffer the wrath of God. And when the stars start falling and the sun, amen, it turns dark, and the moon is blood, and the awful judgments of God are poured out, they won't be poured out on us. We won't suffer that, because there's a time when the difference is going to make a difference. They may mock and scoff, amen, they may ridicule, but there'll come a day that the difference will make a difference. God knows how to draw the line between the righteous and unrighteous, because He knows those that are His. When God draws that line, He doesn't look at the church membership row. He didn't look at the baptism row. God knows where to draw the line between the righteous and the unrighteousness, because He knows those that are His. I want to tell you, it's not just this world. I told myself I would not go here, but here I go. It's not just in the world that sometimes you can't tell the difference. It's within the very church. Amen. Because the tares and the wheat grow together. And there's a period of time when you can't tell a tare from a wheat. But God knows what's a wheat and what's a tare. And He said at the end of the world, He's going to send forth the harvesters. He said, let both grow together. But there's going to come a time the difference is going to make a difference. Because the harvesters are going to come and separate the tares from the wheat. And the tares are going to be piled up and burned. But the wheat are going to be gathered into the barn, the eternal home of our God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, they're Christian, and they do all the things of this world, and they're involved in all of that, and they seem just as blessed as we are blessed. Yes, but it's not at the end of the world. Maybe they just haven't got to the place where the difference is going to make a difference. But it is. It will make a difference. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so let me say one more thing. God knows that is His, those that are His. And I've just read this book, and I'm not going to go into all of it. Another history book, and I don't want to bore you with all that. But it was the wars against the Comanche Indians, particularly in Oklahoma and Texas and New Mexico. And for a long period of time, they couldn't catch them. They couldn't kill them off. And they would send divisions of volunteer militia. And they would send, at times, even U.S. cavalry out to catch them. But you know what? And I'm not going to have this exactly what the historian said. It said really it didn't matter to them if the Native American was a Comanche or not. Amen. It really didn't matter. They couldn't, most of them, it said, were not experienced enough that they could tell a difference between a Comanche and an Arapaho or Kiowa or any of these other. And so they just went out, and they might be peaceful Native Americans, and they might have been those that have already surrendered, and they might have been those who were built a house and trying to grow crops and never involved in any of the raids. But these that did not know a difference. Amen. It didn't matter who they were. They just grabbed them and killed them. It's a shame. It's a travesty. But they did that. They didn't even figure out who they really were. They were just killing them and destroying them. But I want to tell you, when it comes to this end thing, and it comes to the judgments of God, God will make no mistake. He knows those that are His. Hallelujah. How does He know it? That comes to the last point. The difference was the difference. I know that sounds secular, but what I'm going to be preaching for just a few seconds before I end, the difference of the blood made the difference of the outcome. Hallelujah. I said the difference of the blood made the difference of the outcome. The difference was the difference. Amen. You see, all this difference I've been talking about was really a difference between the gods. Did you serve Jehovah God or the gods of Egypt? In fact, I don't have time to go into this, but the plagues were actually a judgment against the Egyptian gods. We talked about all these things, boils and lice and all this, but if you would search this out, each one of those plagues was an answer to a particular Egyptian god who was supposed to have power in that area. And God judged each of the Egyptian gods by these parallel plagues. It's a difference of who is your God. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of talk today that all roads lead to heaven and all religions seek after the same God. But I'm going to tell you, there's a difference about God Jehovah. When it came time to deliver, the difference wasn't in how many sacrifices you offered. The difference wasn't in how much money you gave. The difference wasn't how many hoops that you jumped. Our God, the difference was in the blood. It separates from every other god. Hallelujah. Even back here in the Exodus story, the message is the difference is in the blood. And so this final plague that is about to be sent upon Egypt, it made the ultimate difference between slavery and freedom. But the reason the final plague made the ultimate difference, the thing about that plague that was different, was the blood. Hallelujah. I said it was the blood. Amen. What, could I have just 5 more minutes? Thank you very much. Amen. It was the blood. Amen. God said, I'm sending a final plague, and of every household, every family, not only of the people but of the animals. Tonight, the death angel's going to come into the land, and every firstborn is going to die. Amen. But he said to the people of God, he said, I've got a redemption. I've got a salvation. I've got a way of escape. Go out and find that lamb. Oh, I wish I had more time to preach about the lamb. But take that lamb and take its blood after you have sacrificed it, and put that blood upon the sides and upon the top of your door. And tonight, when death comes to Egypt to claim the firstborn, when the blood is seen, that firstborn will live. Oh, somebody said this is a religion of death. No, sir. The only death was Jesus' death. And because he died and shed his blood, there's life in our house. There's life in our home. Hallelujah. What was the difference that night between the firstborn that died and the firstborn that lived? The difference was the applied blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the thing that's going to make the difference is the blood applied to our heart, our life, and our mind. Every other plague, every other difference had been building and building and building to this ultimate difference. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, with us, we've had the ultimate difference of the blood, and every other difference in our life, it stems from the blood. Hallelujah. It's not because we're different that we've been saved. Amen. We're different because we are saved. Being different didn't earn us salvation, but the applying of the blood, it changed us. It changed who we are. It changed the way we think. It changed the way we talk. It changed the way we walk. It changed our aspirations, our desire, our values, our motives. It changed our destination. Are you glad the blood made the difference? If you're thankful for the blood, would you praise him? Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. At first, it made no sense to be putting that blood. But I'm telling you, by the time the night was over, it made perfect sense. How can this make a difference? Makes no sense. But it made sense when morning came. It makes no sense to live that way, to believe that way. It'll make a difference when morning comes. Now, I want to take you where we've been, and I'm done. We're almost done. They bemoan being different. Moses, what have you done? You made us to stink. You've got us extra burden. They said it really doesn't. There's really no difference in being different. But I want you to know, before the night was over, there wasn't a one of them wishing they were an Egyptian. Every one of them said, thank God I'm one of his. Thank God I'm an Israelite. Thank God I applied the blood. Look what it says in verse 7 of chapter 11. this death angel will fly, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord, here it is one more time, that the Lord or Jehovah doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not upon you be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to share something. I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it one more time tonight. I'm not trying to upset anybody's apple cart. I'm not trying to preach false doctrine, but to me, this is a greater reason to rejoice. We often read this wrongly. God said, I will pass through the land. That's when he comes to execute judgment, the death of the firstborn. But he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We read this, that God is slain by his death angel. He has slain the firstborn, but he sees a house with blood on it, so he bypasses the house. Well, I won't enter that house. That's the way we read it, and that's wonderful enough. But from everything that I've studied through years, it doesn't mean pass over, like to bypass. God said, when I see the blood over that house, I will pass over. I will encapsulate that house. I will put my protection all sides and the top so nothing can get through. I want you to know, if the blood's applied, no longer is it this imaginary line. He's encapsulated us. We have every reason tonight to feel encapsulated by his grace and his love and his power, protected from our enemy. Do you feel it tonight? Do you feel the encapsulation of the Lord? Aren't you glad now you're different? I'm telling you, when morning came, there was wailing across the land. But everyone that applied the blood said, thank God that I'm different. Amen. Would you come? Would you come? I'm not even going to preach anymore. I'm just going to quit and give you one little story. Come music. Amen. Amen. I've said all this, and you got to remember, I was a child, because this lady would have died probably in my early teen years. But in my home church, there was a lady that was already way up in years when I was a child. I don't know how many times, but I remember several times as a child, she gave this testimony. Living there in Oklahoma, she said there was a locust of grass, or there was a plague of grasshoppers. Basically, that's what the locusts are in the Bible. But there was a plague of grasshoppers coming through, moving county to county, destroying whole fields, crop after crop. She said, we were poor, didn't have much, and our very life sustenance depended upon that crop we had this year. She said, my parents were believers. You could almost mark it in the conversations of the neighbors whose field those grasshoppers were in next. She said, my parents went to praying and calling on God, and she'd weep as she told it. And she said, folks, those grasshoppers ate right up to the fence on this side of our property and lifted en masse and flew to the field on the other side. Now, that happened when she was a little girl. That would have been the very early 1900s, somewhere in there. But she began to weep and cry and talk about how God made a difference. Hallelujah. I can't answer all the philosophical questions, because sometimes Christians do get their fields eaten. But I'll tell you, there will be a time when the difference will make a difference, especially in that ultimate time. The difference is going to make a difference. Hallelujah. It's not something we endow ourselves with. The difference is the work of God in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Just encapsulate. Thank God. Could you stand tonight? Would you thank him for the difference he makes? Hallelujah. Let's praise him across the building. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, pass over our homes. Pass over our families. Pass over, Lord, our people. Pass over. Protect us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, I know I got to be through preaching, but you see, here's the key. If the blood's been put on the post and on the door, it was instructed, make sure you stay in the house. And you might have had the blood put on the post and the door, but you need to stay in the house. Amen. Don't be wandering out in the streets. Stay in the house. Stay in the place where the blood's applied. Hallelujah. Don't leave. Don't go out. Be amongst the Egyptians. Stay where the blood's applied. These open altars are open. Anyone need to know Christ as Savior? You need to return to the Lord. Whatever. Please come with us tonight. But I just want us to do something, church. I want us to come and fill these altars and thank God for the difference He's made in our lives. Could we do that? Could we just come and fill the altars tonight? Hallelujah. If you need Christ in a special way, please come. Somebody will pray with you tonight. Please come, fill these altars. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the difference you made. Thank you for the blood. He makes a difference.